Welcome to Affiliate Marketing Millionaire, the official podcast for the number one affiliate marketing channel on YouTube, with over 36 million views and counting. Here are your hosts, ODI Productions and Kit Fatch.
All right, welcome back to another episode of the Affiliate Marketing Millionaire Podcast. And today we are talking about the brand new Google helpful content update that just hit at the end of September. It's been causing huge waves, so we are going to dive into it. But first, I want to turn it over to your host, ODI Production, with a quick update to the September challenge.
All right, what's up, guys? So we've just wrapped up the September 2023 challenge. If you're just tuning in and you missed the last couple episodes, we ran a challenge during the month of September. If you can write 15 blog posts, new blog posts published to your website or blog, or if you can hit over 40 total cumulative blog posts on your website, I will record a quick personalized video analyzing your website and giving you helpful tips to grow even further. So we had 18 podcast listeners complete the challenge. And based on my math, we have thousands of listeners every single week. This is the top 0.01% of podcast listeners. So if you're one of the 18 who received an email, and if you did complete the challenge, but you haven't received an email, please email us. There will be info in the description and we'll check it out. But congrats to the 18 people who have completed the challenge. Really excited to dive into your websites this week and do some analysis. I love giving feedback, and I know, you know, after reviewing hundreds of websites, I always have at least half a dozen to a dozen ways to optimize or improve further. So that's the first thing. September challenge is complete, and who knows, in the future we might run this again because it was so fun. I personally did about 20, 23 blog posts in September myself. That was my challenge, and I completed it. And the results so far have been really good. My traffic, my Google Search Console daily impressions from the beginning of September to now, it's early October, has jumped from 800 to 1,000 impressions per day now to just under 7,000 daily impressions. But the topic for today is the September 2023 helpful content update, which actually had a lot of bad news for most website owners and bloggers. And actually, people are saying this is the worst update in terms of penalization and sites tanking and traffic since Penguin and Panda. Now, if you're new to this space, you probably never heard of Penguin Panda, what we're talking about. I've been here. I witnessed Penguin and Panda firsthand, not to my sites, but to sites around me because, you know, affiliate marketing and black hat tactics goes hand in hand back in the day to when I started, and sites were getting destroyed overnight, just completely losing all their traffic. And it was because of these Penguin and Panda updates. And there's a similar update that's happening right now on Twitter. So, you know, this update, a lot of experts and just site owners in general are saying that their site traffic is down massively. And I'm going to quote this Glenn Gabe from Twitter. He quoted, he tweeted, "After analyzing even more sites heavily impacted by the September HCU helpful content update, I am more confident that the combination of unhelpful content and terrible UX is a kiss of death helpful content update wise. I'm not saying terrible UX alone would cause a hit, but both together can yield serious problems. Just wanted to post this update now that I've reviewed even more sites that got hammered." So this guy, Glenn Gabe, is like an SEO expert, you know, on Twitter. And he also quotes further. He wrote an article, a blog post. One more quote from him. He said, "I believe the focus of the helpful content update is removing unhelpful content from the SERPs, search engine result page. But the user experience does play a part, and the combination of lower quality content with a terrible UX is the kiss of death with the helpful content update." So, Kit, reactions?
Yeah, and I think a lot of people had this thing, you know, we've been talking about helpful content and we've been talking about page experience for a long, long time. And people kept saying, it doesn't matter, it doesn't matter, it doesn't matter. And what we kept telling all of you was, it will matter. Even if it hasn't mattered yet, it will matter. And that you should start doing it. Start working on your page experience. We gave you the question about, here's how you can try and create helpful content. And what's happened now is, now Google has really started trying to address the problem where, you know, if you use Google, a lot of times it can just be really trash search results. And now Google's getting really aggressive about it. So before, terrible UX didn't matter. it matters a lot now. And so if you're not doing it when Google has explicitly said they care about it, and now you're seeing it, you have to start doing, taking care of this stuff.
Yeah. So we've been preaching basically these two things, helpful content and then UX through Google's Core Web Vitals / page experience on Google Search Console. And, you know, it's a big reason why running my website on JetPage, I think, has been an advantage. I mean, my growth in the last month, it seems to me that this update that was rolled out during September not only did not penalize my sites, but I've seen a boost in my traffic and my search impressions. So this helpful content update that just rolled out would kind of explain the boost, but at the same time, sites are getting demoted if you're doing the opposite. So what's interesting about the helpful content update from my sources that I've read, the previous helpful content updates, there was two or three of them before that we spoke about on the podcast, and they actually didn't boost sites. They only kind of demoted or penalized sites that were not providing helpful content according to this criteria. However, this update is the biggest one yet, and not only does it demote and penalize sites, it promotes good sites. So the sites that are following the helpful content criteria, basically, are you making content that is high quality and is not optimized specifically just for search engines? Because that's easy to kind of game and easy to kind of, you know, make content that used to rank before, but then is not good for a human to read. Like, it wasn't that, again, helpful content, hence the name. Now, the UX part's interesting. So there's a big divide. Like, what I read from Twitter is a lot of SEO experts, they seem to downplay the Core Web Vitals a lot. You know, they don't seem to really like to give a lot of credence to it, although it is like literally inside of Google Search Console. Now, we've said that Core Web Vitals is important. It's not the like the only thing, though, for sure. It's only one of many hundreds of factors. So like, you know, you can give it like, I don't know, 5% is how much it matters. Maybe it's less, maybe it's more. Who knows? None of us know. And the experts, quote unquote, on Twitter, they don't know either. That's the hard part about being an SEO kind of thought leader is, you know, you don't even know the black box that is the Google algorithm, right? You can try to know. And here's the problem. These experts, their sites are tanking. So, I mean, what does that even tell you? You know what I mean? Like, the stuff that they're telling you in their own sites, if they're seeing negative results, then, you know, if you practice what you preach and these people are not really high on things like Core Web Vitals, which I don't understand. Again, like, for me, I've always been a performance guy. Like, I love speed. Who doesn't love like a fast loading website, right? From a UX, like, forget SEO and ranking. Like, who doesn't just love a pleasurable experience on the web? And that's what Google is trying to push forward. That is their agenda, because a faster web equals more ads equals more money, right? This serves them, right? So to me, I'm not surprised at all. To be honest, I actually didn't really realize there was an update during September, because my site was actually doing better and better. And I, you know, I just thought this is business as usual. Turns out the opposite. There are people, you can just go on Twitter and look at, you know, search up helpful content update, maybe a hashtag or something like that. And people are just seeing massive drops in their sites. And the two top reasons that the experts at least are saying are, one, it's unhelpful content. So, you know, maybe it's a lot of super AI generated, you know, just like maybe super SEO, like search engine optimized, over optimized. And then they're saying terrible UX. So when they say terrible UX, what the experts are saying is mostly ads. But the thing is, ads, which technically under Core Web Vitals, they call intrusive interstitials, and that's been part of Core Web Vitals since the beginning. So I think Core Web Vitals, it, you know, if you have ads that are slowing down your site, you have tons of pop-ups, that's going to hurt your Core Web Vitals. It's going to cause them to fail. So I think like that's just a symptom under the umbrella that is Core Web Vitals. And that's why I still, you know, we've been preaching about things like that. And my site, you know, is 100% on mobile and desktop on Core Web Vitals. And again, I'm not saying this is like more than 5% of the reason, but we don't know. You know, if I just had to guess, it's probably at least 5%. Could be higher, could be lower, but my site's been growing. And I have to think that like doing the things on Google Search Console that says are good, like if my sites were failing Core Web Vitals, that would be bad, right? Like I you can't look at that and interpret it as like, oh, it's fine. For me, having 100%, you know, mobile desktop, is like, okay, at least I know this is not going to hurt me, right?
And I think, like we said before, it was like, hey, it might not be, but Google had even said, when, and I think we had said this before, was Google said, hey, it's a smaller part now. It's going to become more and more important over time, just as the base level experience. When the web first started, your site could look horrible and it didn't matter.
Yeah.
What matters now? It matters more and more every year. And
yeah.
It's not just like, oh, passing the speed and then it's good. Those core web vitals are indicators of other things, right? They don't like pop-ups. And there's a lot of like, the only people who think some of these things are good web design are people who've been benefiting off them. And they'll be like, why can't I have an email pop-up that jumps out at people right away? Or why can't I like bombard people with this and that? That's not good UX for a user perspective. Google doesn't like it. And so you shouldn't be doing it. And it's just simple to fall that. So the core web vitals is less about, okay, well, my page loads. That's an important part. It's an important part of the user experience. It's also a great indicator for other things that are a bad user experience that also contribute to a slow page speed.
Yeah, that's the other thing, pop-up. So, you know, I've been around on web development, web design for a long time, and it was just a clean tactic, or not clean, but like it was just a clear tactic to always use those pop-ups to get email addresses, etc. And it does work. And to be honest, like I personally don't have anything against them. It's just that they can hurt your intrusive interstitials, your core web vitals, your UX. And again, like as a user, I don't love getting bombarded by pop-ups. As a business owner, I understand why they're there. I understand that they can work, but it seems here that Google, you know, is not as high, depending on, you know, it pop-ups alone are, it depends, like it can be okay based on the criteria, but the pop-ups that, you know, are kind of like annoying and blocking like the screen and stuff like that and difficult, those are the ones that, you know, are going to hurt you. So those seem to be the big takeaways from this update. You know, helpful content, which it would shock you. You think helpful content is like straightforward, okay? It's like self-explanatory. But when you read the criteria for it, like all the questions that they ask, and we went over this in a previous episode, you might be able to find it if you haven't listened to it. And, you know, the content that's actually helpful for humans who are reading, it, you know, it's really high quality and it takes a certain personal touch, to be honest. Like you really have to have empathy of like, who's reading this? Is it easy to read? Is it the info that they want? Or am I just keyword stuffing and just, you know, tons of AI generation and I'm not adding anything of value to make this more digestible? So AI generated content, I think we should touch on that point for a moment here. Obviously, in the last year, which the rise of ChatGPT, AI generated content goes hand in hand with things like blog writing, right? But we've spoken about this in previous episodes. You can use these tools, but please do not just 100%, you know, hit generate and then publish, like go straight to publishing, right? Like, come on, we can use these tools to give us a rough draft, to give us inspiration, to give us ideas, but you can't just simply take that and then just not do any, you know, on the flip side, SEO optimization, like on page still does matter, okay? It's over optimization that's probably killing these sites and these SEO experts, because some of them, you know, I have to guess might be doing a little bit too much over optimization. You know, too much of a good thing is gonna have, like, Google is smart enough to know when people are trying to game the system, right? Guys, Google is full of these, you know, these engineers who are getting paid very, very healthy amounts. And trust me, they all went to Stanford and Berkeley, and they're probably smarter than the average, like, you know, blogger or person who's just like, you know, doing a rink-a-dink website. Like, you're not going to outsmart them is what I'm saying, okay? And so to Kit's point that this Core Web Vitals, when it was introduced, not that big of a deal. And I agree. Like, I think it was like a small thing. And the thing is, they're not going to turn up the heat like to 450 degrees off the rip, because then that's a lot of sites that are going to get hurt overnight. Yeah,
I think it was like 90% of sites were failing Core Web Vitals.
It was, yeah, exactly. So the majority. So like they can't penalize all those sites because that's like the whole internet. So what is probably logically happening is they're slowly turning up sort of the criteria or how much this factor in the algorithm is weighted. That's what, personally, that's my take. I don't know. Nobody knows. That said, year after year, as the web gets faster and more responsive and just, you know, more enjoyable to use, they're not going to be rewarding sites that still have a terrible user experience or a slow, you know, slow page load speeds. Because why, when there's sites that are passing these things, and it's basically like a percentile thing. So if your site right now is in like the 10th percentile, like it's honestly in the bottom 10% of sites in terms of, you know, the UX, the core web vitals, the page loads, etc., then, you know, you might be feeling some of the penalty now. But then who knows, in a few months, it might be the sites in the bottom 20%. And then before you know it, like a year from now, it might be whoever is in the bottom 50%. There's millions of sites. So, I mean, honestly, there's still a lot of people willing to take your spot and willing to like replace you, because there's tons of sites, millions. But then, to be honest, we've seen the Core Web Vitals numbers, and that's just one factor, but like tons of sites are failing, like the majority still, like to this day. So, you know, that's one thing that me personally, why wouldn't that be like a leg up? Why wouldn't that be something in the algorithm if they're choosing, hey, do we choose this site or that site? One's failing all the Core Web Vitals. The other one is passing with flying colors, huh? Like, even if that's a 5% difference, that 5% could be the difference between you getting indexed and you getting on page one, and then that other person being on page five, or not even getting indexed, getting crawled, you know, getting discovered, and Google's like, eh, there's a ton of people who are passing, like, you know, or who are doing better, you know, why promote you?
Yeah, and it's just like we said, why wouldn't you do it? And the good thing is, if like what people used to do, and I think the reason people used to downplay this was in order to fix that on your site is really hard. There are a lot of experts who are like, honestly, if you want to fix your Core Web Vitals, like you're going to need to consult an expert, like you're going to need to know coding, all this stuff.
Yeah.
The good thing is, now say you use something like JetPage, all right, well, you're done. There you go. That's all, and you pass.
I mean, for me, the proof is just in the pudding with my own site and my own sites on, you know, JetPage, that, again, I'm in Google Search Console every single day. I'm paying attention to these things and I'm seeing the fluctuations in traffic. And again, I didn't even know there was like a negative sort of update in the last month, just because my site has been actually growing almost exponentially. And I hopefully in, you know, my next YouTube video, I'll be going over that. Again, I did like 20 brand new posts in September, part of the September challenge. That definitely had a nice effect. And that combined with the helpful content update that rewarded good UX and helpful content. Now I want to bring it back. So my you know, the post I did this month, or September, I mean, it's October now. I went back and looked at the post that I did in my first case study back in May, and I realized that even that content was terrible. Like, it was like 300 words each article. It was like the bare minimum, and some of those even ranked on page one on Ahrefs, which I showed in my last YouTube video. But I went back, I redid a bunch of those posts, and there's levels to helpful content, guys. Like, there's definitely levels to high quality content. And I myself, I wasn't even at that level with the 18 posts that I first did on my own site. But in this September challenge, I honestly went back and I like doubled, if not tripled, the word counts on these posts. And not to say that, like, you know, pure word count alone is quality, right? But, you know, the average page one ranking, position one ranking, is like 1200 words. And you have to think, you know, those are high quality posts that have a lot of thought put into them. They have a lot of good structure, a lot of good H2 headings. I definitely am like pretty happy with what I did in September and what I had revamped from the post I did from the first case study. You know, I went back and redid those. So, you know, helpful content, there's a lot of nuance to it. It sounds so common sense, like kind of easy, to be honest, like, you know, like almost self-explanatory. But not only was my own content not up to snuff, but I've looked at, you know, hundreds of sites, and we're about to dive into seeing these 18, you know, podcast listeners who completed the challenge. I'm going to see a lot of variance in terms of, you know, how quality the content is. And, you know, that's number one. So like the helpful content is, aside from, you know, your website's design and UX and page load, whatever, like the helpful content is just the words, right? And again, you know, bringing back to this AI generated. So AI is extremely helpful, I've seen some of the, you know, students and the people that I consult with before, they struggled to get, you know, one post out per week, and they were able to start cranking out 2 to 3 posts per day. And a big reason was AI. But the one thing that I had warned them and I had kind of taught them to do is you can start with that as your base, but you have to do a layer on top that's the human, you know, like written by you, right? So Google understands AI. They can reverse engineer and detect, you know, AI generated content. And, you know, you just have to make sure that you're still putting an effort on top of that. And the problem is the people who are getting dinged, now I'm not saying this is like everyone, but definitely a big chunk is probably people who were utilizing a lot of ChatGPT and maybe some of these blogging, like AI generating services, and they were literally copying and pasting and just hitting publish. So Kit, like, what do you think is a good balance? You know, because this is such a tricky thing if you're a beginner and you know, you don't really know. If you're going to utilize AI, like, what's the best way to strike a balance?
I think best way is it's great to shoot out an outline for yourself. It's great to, when you're feeling stuck, generate things, but it's not just, oh, click and done. Like, you need to provide something to it. Otherwise, you need to give it input too, both the prompts, both with reviewing. What's great is instead of you having to create all of it, you review. It's like editing. It's way easier. You go through, okay, all right, let me go find a good statistic that can back this up, right? Anytime it's making a claim. So it's really helpful as like a robotic arm, like, or like the assistant in a video game. Like, it's amazing at that. You can't expect it to do all the work for you. That's why you did your work to pick a niche and things like that. You sort of input those things. You can do it piecemeal, piece by piece. And that's what, you know, there are plenty of people with who use AI content who aren't hit by, say, these updates. I saw a lot of that on Twitter. Mm-hmm. But that's because those people are using it correctly. They're using it as a tool.
Yep.
They're not just like, okay, click it. Oh, I'm done. And you know, I can let it rank.
Yeah, that's important to note that on Twitter, there's many sites that have a lot of AI generated content that weren't hit as well. So it's not just like binary, yes, no, you know, do you use it or not? It's how you use it, obviously. And at the end of the day, laziness has a price. Whether your laziness is with your content, which you shouldn't be, or your laziness is with your website's design and the UX, which again, you shouldn't be. So we're going to go over some of these from Google. They have these questions for the UX. So we're just going to go down this list. The first one is, do pages have good core web vitals? Great. So, you know, we've obviously discussed that. You can check your site's core web vitals in Google Search Console, but you need to have a certain level of traffic before you can see the actual scores, because core web vitals is from real traffic. It's not what you see in Lighthouse. That's emulated. That, you know, core web vitals is only what's inside Google Search Console. Next, are your pages served in a secure fashion? HTTPS, okay? This is SSL certificate applied, force HTTPS on your website. This is something that, you know, most websites should have these days, but it'd surprise you. Before, back in the day when I used to have a lot of WordPress sites, you used to have to get a plugin. It was called Really Simple SSL. I would used to have to get a plugin and go get my own SSL certificate. I used to have to pay for one from an outside service and then connect the two and then force HTTPS on your site, which, you know, that should just happen. And, you know, on my JetPage sites, I'd never have to worry about that again. So moving on, does content display well for mobile devices when viewed on them? So again, my sites are mobile responsive. They're responsive on any device, iPad, tablet, desktop, laptop, whatever, just because, you know, it's on the modern website platform. But, you know, certain sites are still not mobile friendly these days. Does the content lack an excessive amount of ads that distract from or interfere with the main content? So this is what a lot of the experts are pointing to. They're saying that the ads, you know, too many ads, the autoplay videos, like everything just popping out at you is just killing your site's UX. And, you know, we've spoken against ads for the most part because it just, you need so much traffic to make a significant amount of money from ad revenue. If your site is getting that healthy traffic, then that's great. I think affiliate marketing and ad revenue and anything else you could do, sponsorships, you know, I think that that's all net positive. But obviously from a user perspective, it sucks when you're on a site that has a ton of ads. Do pages lack intrusive interstitials? So this is pop-ups, like pop-ups that kind of get in the way of the content. These could be, you know, email signups. It could be pop-ups with ads. You know, it's hand in hand. And then how easily can visitors navigate to or locate the main content of your pages? Kind of hand in hand again with the ads. Like ads can tend to push a lot of content down on a page and force you to have to kind of like jump through hoops to just read the paragraphs. And these days ads are getting so native, you know, you don't really know what's part of the content and what's an ad. And then lastly, is the page designed so visitors can easily distinguish the main content from other content on your page? So readability, accessibility, you know, is the content easy to read and not getting blocked by these intrusive interstitials, these pop-ups, these ads? So it does seem like a lot of these, you know, page experience things, obviously, first and foremost, they mentioned, this is from Google, by the way, so this is like official, but they mentioned core vitals and security, which is, you know, part of page experience. But then it seems a lot of these points are about basically like, are you overloaded on ads and are the ads displayed in a way that's not getting in the way of the main content?
And I think a lot of people, you know, a lot of people like to get creative with their web design. Oh, I have a great, you, there's a difference between design and UX, user experience, what's good for users. And so just because you think something looks really cool and neat, you're designing a page for everybody. It's just like when people build homes to flip them. You want it as generic as possible, easy to read, easy to understand. If you go on major news sites, you go to any of them, they'll have, you go to Medium, whatever, big text right in the middle, trying not to crowd you out with other things. And that's the kind of basic, when it comes to web design, you don't want to be getting crazy creative. You want to go with what works, go simple, and that's it. You really don't want to be getting crazy. This isn't the place to put your creative stamp on something.
Yeah, so I had one of my most kind of enlightening conversations with a fellow entrepreneur in this space. And it's funny because he mentioned Wikipedia and he just said, basically, look at Wikipedia. It's literally just, it's almost like plain text format, right? And they seem to do really well because at the end of the day, it's just about readability of like, can you provide this information when you break it down to kind of like the core, you know, almost like the molecules. And it's just interesting because I see a lot of beginners who are kind of on, they have the wrong idea of, okay, my site needs to be this like crazy artistic piece that's like unique and this and that. But you know, the truth is I've seen a lot of sites that make a lot of money and they have the most like cookie cutter design, but it works because they're not, again, they're not hurting themselves by doing these like terrible UX things that's going to hurt you from this update and from updates that are probably going to come in the future. So, you know, simple is the best in many cases, honestly. And that's what I believe. And, you know, at the end of the day, if you have a site that has all these crazy animations and JavaScript and it's bloated, like a lot of WordPress sites, you know, that I even made myself, that I could never get them to pass Core Vitals, no matter how hard, you know, I tried, just because they had so many plugins and themes. But, you know, these things at the end of the day, they're not necessary. Like what you need to have a successful site and what people think they need, there's a big divide. And the more advanced you are and you're not like a beginner, the more you realize that you don't need all of these things. You know, it's when you're a beginner and you're just kind of like, you know, you're kind of a newbie, you think like you need all these plugins, for example, to succeed. But then, you know, honestly, yeah, simplicity is the best both for you, the business owner, and for the visitor to your site who's reading your site. And so, you know, kind of wrapping up this topic, this update, massive update that kind of further bolsters what we've been preaching, I think, on this podcast. I mean, you can look back at the episodes we did on helpful content update, you know, the first couple ones, and then also just, you know, we talk about Core Web Vitals and, you know, page experience and stuff like that. I would say, just to sum things up, one, helpful content. So this is just making sure you're not over optimizing for SEO. But from my perspective, I've actually seen, you know, most of the students and the sites I reviewed, they tend to not even have enough on page SEO and proper SEO. So, you know, for some people, over optimization is what's penalizing them. For some people, under optimization of SEO is equally bad because, you know, for me, I think what has led to my site growing a lot in the last month is also having very strong on-page SEO and strong SEO strategy inside of it. And there's levels to that. Just like I said, there's levels to helpful content. There's levels to SEO strategy. And I've personally been learning so much hands-on. And that's why, you know, I want to encourage people who are listening to this podcast, look, to get into the 0.01%, all you have to do is write a blog post every other day. And obviously, easier said than done. But look, if that's to get into the 0.01%, now, obviously, this is a small sample compared to just all the people who are competing and who are making websites, who are pursuing affiliate marketing. That said, this is probably reflective of the greater whole. If, you know, if I'm just thinking logically, like, you know, out of thousands and thousands of listeners, only 18 were able to complete it, then just imagine you extrapolate this to maybe millions of people, right? To get in that 0.01%, a blog post every other day. It's kind of straightforward, you know? So anyways, to wrap this up, this update, it just, again, you need to focus on where the puck is heading and you need to focus on just taking no shortcuts. Taking shortcuts will penalize you, will hurt you. And I witnessed Penguin and Panda firsthand. I knew that taking these shortcuts and specifically black hat tactics, which is why you've heard me on this podcast, I have never been a proponent of black hat and I'm strictly white hat because I've seen the ill effects of Penguin and Panda. They destroyed businesses overnight. And to me, you know, that was a cautionary tale to never like go down that route. And again, time and time again, we're kind of just focusing on doing the right thing. And yes, like it's hard to, you know, kind of rip out your whole website in order to make it past things like Core Web Vitals, etc. Like, yes, that's hard, but that's why you need to do it because so many people are choosing the lazy route or choosing the ignorant route of saying, no, this doesn't matter. And then look what's happening. This update is killing their sites. And now they're kind of left holding the bag and wondering what happened. I mean, we kind of have to me, it's kind of clear explanation. And according to these experts, they're saying that terrible, you know, the UX is what's killing the sites. And we've been preaching have good UX from the beginning. And from anecdotally from my sites, I'm seeing a big boost. And this is probably from this update. So yeah, that's basically it for this episode. Again, I want to thank everyone who even just participated in the challenge, even if you didn't complete it. And, you know, a blog post every other day, especially when you have a full-time job or you're juggling school or you have a family, it's very difficult. And so those who did complete it, I'm really excited to look at your sites and I'm really excited to give some helpful feedback so we can grow further. But, you know, maybe we'll do this challenge again in the future. And if you're someone who's just, there's a lot of new listeners to the podcast, make sure you go into the show notes and you visit my site, odiproductions.com. I have a free course that a lot of people have given some amazing feedback that they've taken the free course and it's been some of the best training on affiliate marketing that they've received, even more than paid trainings that they've, you know, courses and mentors they've paid for in the past, which, you know, this is just my best free training that I have out there. So I definitely recommend you start there if you're, you know, you're listening to this and maybe you're new and you just don't know where to start. I would start with that 6-hour course. It's a ton of content and, you know, I think it's going to help you. But other than that, if you want to drop us a line, you can email us. We have the email in the podcast notes. And if you are enjoying the podcast, thank you guys for the support. Leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts, if you want to support us. And thank you guys so much for, you know, the emails and the kind words that you guys give in every single week. And that basically wraps up this episode. And we hope to catch you guys again next week.